I'm Dan Hughes in the Old Time Radio Corner. I must have been about 8 years old. That would have been about 1955 then, when my father took me to see Gene Autry at the Indiana Fairgrounds Coliseum in Indianapolis. Now, over half a century later, I still remember three things about that show. First, I'd never seen such a huge crowd in my life. Second, when Gene shot his gun on stage, I think it was the loudest sound I'd ever heard. I literally jumped out of my seat. And third, when we first got there and entered the lobby, there were vendors selling Gene Autry flashlights for a dollar. They were tiny, about the size of a Bic lighter, and they ran on one AA battery. Then, midway through the show, Gene asked everybody to turn on their Gene Autry flashlights. The house lights were turned out, and the illumination was provided by the thousands of tiny flashlights from all over the Coliseum. It was one of the most beautiful sights I've ever seen. Gene Autry was a movie star, and he was the original King of the Cowboys. Now, when Gene Autry went off to fly planes in World War II, Roy Rogers took over the King of the Cowboys title. But to me, Gene Autry will always be the one. Gene was born in 1907. He started his adult life as a telegraph operator, and in 1928 he began singing on a Tulsa, Oklahoma radio station. In 1929 he moved to the National Barn Dance on WLS in Chicago, and he signed a recording contract with Columbia Records. He made his first movie in 1934, and his radio show, Gene Autry's Melody Ranch, ran on CBS Radio from 1940 to 1956. This episode, Cattleman's Money Stolen, originally aired on June 9, 1951.
It's 8:30 in time for the Gene Autry Melody Ranch Show.
Brothers and sisters, here's a lowdown. When it comes time to have a showdown, there's nothing like a good old-fashioned hold-down to chase your blues away. When Lady Luck gives you the throwdown, old man worry starts to mow down, there's nothing like a good old-fashioned hold down to brighten up your day. Grab your partner, swing her around, and trickle on your heels. 1, 2, 3, 4, grease your knee for a real Virginia reel. Get ready now, put your toe down, and once you've started, don't you slow down. There's nothing like a good old-fashioned hold down to chase your blues away. Grab your partner, swing her around, and circle on your heels. 1, 2, 3, 4, grease your knee for a real Virginia reel. Get ready now to put your toe down, and once you've started, don't you slow down. There's nothing like a good old-fashioned hold down to chase your blues away.
Well, howdy there, friends and neighbors, and welcome to Melody Ranch. Yes, sir, the whole gang's on hand to make your visit just as pleasant as we can.
How long is forever? I thought that I knew. Then you broke your promise to always be true. You said you would love me forever, sweetheart. How long is forever when now we're apart? The vine-covered cottage you said we would share is only a cottage with rooms that are past. How long is forever? I wish that I knew, for I will be waiting forever for you. The vine-covered cottage you said we would share is only a cottage with rooms that are bare. How long is forever? I wish that I knew. We'll be waiting forever for you.
Well, Patrick?
Yeah?
What are you doing?
Oh, hi, Miss Ardrey. Just looking through my old family album.
The word is album, not album. You don't know your grammar.
Word is all bums. You don't know my family.
Well, thank goodness for that. Hey, by the way, who's this catcher with the goatee wearing the ventilated beans?
Oh, him? Oh, that's my cousin Bledsoe Halifax. He was a panhandler.
So I see. But why is he holding 2 tin cups?
Well, business was so good, he opened up a branch office. We never worried about him getting cold in the winter, though.
Oh, is that so?
No.
How come?
Well, first thing every November, as soon as it got cold, Cousin Bledsoe would drink 3 quarts of antifreeze.
Well, you took after him. And did that keep him warm during the winter?
No, but it kept him unconscious till spring.
Well, shall we go on to the next page?
Well, there's nothing on that, and let's try. Let's try. Oh, look, here's my Uncle Leopold.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he was a mailman.
Oh?
Yeah. But unfortunately, one day he blew his whistle at a girl and got 17 years at hard labor.
Just for blowing his whistle at a girl?
Yep, he married her.
Well, Patrick, I must say that you have quite a family.
I'll say I did. And what's more, they're all bloodhounds. Blue blood. Fact is, you won't believe this, Mr. Artery, but I can trace my family tree clear back to George Washington.
Now, wait just a minute there, bud. You mean to stand there and tell me that you're related to the father of our country?
Yes, sir. You see, it's like this.
Mm-hmm.
George Washington had a cousin called Clyde Washington. Mm-hmm. Clyde Washington had a son called Murgatroyd Washington. Murgatroyd Washington had a son called Melvin Washington. Melvin Washington had a son called Studebaker Washington. And Studebaker Washington's son was my father's cousin's washwoman's boy, twice removed.
Then how come your family's name is Buttram?
Are you kidding? We had to do something to get out of that rut.
I was born to wander. I was born to roam. Mr. Mississippi made me feel at home.
I can't recall my mother. I don't remember Dad. Mr. and Mississippi was all I ever had. Oh, I was born to wander, I was born to roam. And Mr. and Mississippi made me feel at home. Oh, I was born to wander, I was born to roam. Mr. and Mississippi made me feel at home. My cradle was the river, my school a riverboat. My teacher was a gambler, the slickest one afloat. My teacher was a gambler, the slickest one afloat. He taught me not to gamble on a petticoat. For I was born to wander, I was born to roam. Mr. Mississippi made me feel at home. Oh, Betty, may I love you?
lovely Betty May. Just like a barefoot laddie loves the summer day. The way a wandering gypsy loves the changing sea. Just like the restless river loves old New Orleans. Oh, I was born to wander, I was born to roam. Mr. Mississippi made me feel at home. I'd love a tiny village, a quiet country town. A house, a little garden, with kitties running round. I'd be a faithful husband, I'd be a trusting friend. Until I heard that jingle coming round the bend. Oh, I was born to wander, I was born to roam. Mr. and Mississippi made me feel at home. Mr. and Mississippi made me feel at home. Mr. and Mississippi made me feel at home.
Hello.
Hey,
what?
Hey, I just read a poem on the subject of the common cow. Would you like to hear it?
No.
Good. As long as you're undecided, I'll just go ahead and read it. Poem in defense of the common cow. Arise and take pity on the lowly cow. Her life is really a drag. No matter how hard the cow tries to please, she's always left holding the bag.
Look, Ogden.
Oh.
Suppose we just drop the whole subject, huh?
Why?
Because I'm going to tell a story, that's why.
About a cow?
No. It's not about a cow. However, Pat, it did happen one spring just after our annual county livestock show, and that's where this story begins. The show that particular year had been a big success. In fact, the Cattlemen's Association had netted close to $3,500. At any rate, the receipts were all in cash. And, since I was association treasurer, they picked me to take the money over to deposit at the Center City National Bank. That was on a Monday morning. By Monday noon, I was just going through Crater Pass when all of a sudden, from out of nowhere, a voice said,
Hold it, cowboy. Reach for a sign.
Oh, okay. Oh. Hey, what is this?
Never mind the question. Just get down off that horse. Make it fast.
Okay. With that gun in your hand, I guess I have no choice.
That's better.
Get his saddlebag, Frisco.
Right, Art. Well, you know, Otto, you ought to thank us. We're just saving you from making that long trip to Santa City.
Thanks. I remember that.
I got his saddlebag, Doc. Come on, let's get out of here.
Wait a minute.
What's the matter?
First, I want to personally say goodbye to our friend here.
Oh, yeah, I forgot.
So long, sucker. Pleasant dream. All right, let's go. Let's head for Chula Vista. Dead men don't talk. And that one is plenty dead.
Well, Patrick, needless to say, the bullet missed its mark, thanks to a trick an old-timer once told me. All you do is watch the trigger finger of a guy that's doing the shooting. When it starts to squeeze, you roll your body out and down. That way, if you're lucky, as I was, you get off with a flesh wound in your arm or shoulder. At any rate, I lay there on the ground and waited until two or three of them rode off. Then, with what little strength I had left in me, I managed to pull myself up across camp's back, give him the reins, told him to head back home. Several hours later, when I finally came to, I was lying on my own bed. My arm was in a sling, and Johnny was standing over me.
How you feel?
Oh, hi, Johnny. Who put this thing on me?
Old Doc Tipton. He'll be back a little later. Say, what happened, anyway?
Well, I'm a little vague about it all myself. I just remember two guys with masks on stopping me up in Crater Pass and taking the association's money. After that, one of them took a shot at me and left me for dead.
Well, All I can say is it's sure lucky you ain't dead. That slug just missed your heart by inches.
Yeah, I know.
Do you feel like eating anything?
No, not right now. Saddle up our horses, will you?
Saddle up our horses? What for?
I'll tell you after we get on our way.
But, Gene, you can't go riding around with that bullet hole in you. The doc said you're supposed to rest.
Who are you working for, me or Doc Sifton?
Okay, okay. When you make up your mind, I know better than try and change it. Where are we going?
Back up to Crater Pass. Take a look around. I'm going to find those two guys if it's the last thing I ever do. And next time, I'm going to be on the business end of the gun. Let's see now, Johnny. If I remember right, it was somewhere right along here in that...
What's the matter?
They're on the ground.
Huh?
Looks like part of a match folder.
Well, so what? Anybody riding through here could have dropped that.
Now think again. It rained hard yesterday, didn't it?
Yeah.
And if this match cover had been dropped before today, it would either be all wet or faded. One of the two.
Holy suspenders. It sure would. What's it say on it? Can you make it out?
Not very well. Torn down the middle. In fact, all that's left are the letters TK, and below them, the letter T.
Not much to go on, is it?
Not right now, is it? But it might be when we get to Chula Vista.
Chula Vista? What are we going there for?
Well, I just happened to remember something else. After that guy shot me and thought I was dead, I vaguely recollect him saying something about Chula Vista. Come on.
Okay. But look, couldn't going over there wait till tomorrow? Old Doc Tipton's gonna be awful sore when he comes back and finds you ain't there.
Now, don't worry about that. I'll take care of all the blame.
Well, what's the matter now?
Hold it a second.
Well, what for?
Look again. They're in the dirt.
Well, it's a row from a spur, ain't it?
Sure is, Johnny. One of those heavy Spanish kinds.
Hey, you suppose that might belong to one of them guys that held you up to?
I don't know for sure. But I'll tell you one thing. We're gonna find out. Let's go. It was 8 o'clock that night before we finally rode into Chilliwalla, a small, hot border town that had a reputation as a lawless hole and lived up to it. Anyway, as soon as Johnny and I had put our horses up, checked into the local hotel, cleaned up, then went out looking for a place to eat. We never found one, though, because just as we came around the corner from our hotel, I saw a lighted sign with a CK on top and a C below. The full name of it was the Black Cat.
Yeah, cowboy, what'll it be?
Glass of water. And a little information, if you can give it to me.
Here's the water. You get information by calling the operator.
Wait a minute.
Yeah?
Are these your matches?
Look, mister, if you want to play guessing games, come back after the place closes. I'm busy right now.
Okay. Just one more question, though.
Yeah?
Have Art or Frisco been in lately?
Who's Art or Frisco?
Never mind, I'll ask the operator. There you are, keep the change.
Thanks.
Hey, Art.
Take it easy, Joe, I saw him.
You mean that's the same?
Yeah, that's the same cowboy me and Frisco left for dead this morning. Aim must be getting bad.
I told you you shouldn't have come here. Another hole.
Shut up. Get back to your bar. I'll take you out of the way.
Oh, sure. That's what you said this morning.
Shut up, I said. Frisco's out following him now. See where he's staying at. When he does, I'll take care of Mr. Autry. And this time, for good.
In the meantime, Pat, Johnny and I had eaten dinner and gone back to our hotel room. It was still hotter than a pair of dice on the tent pad. So we turned on the overhead fan, opened up the windows and the doors a little, He started to play a game of double solitaire.
Your play.
Red 8 on your black 9.
Black 10 on your red jack.
How many cards you got left?
Well, let's see. Here's 1, 2, 3.
Quiet.
What's the matter?
Listen. What I heard were footsteps way down the other end of the hall. But they weren't ordinary footsteps. The guy coming closer and closer had the row from one spur missing.
Don't move, John, because this time I won't miss.
You know, I kind of thought that was you. Your other row's in my shirt pocket.
Thank you. I wondered where I'd lost it. You know, cowboy, you don't kill so easy.
Maybe that's because you don't shoot so straight.
Well, maybe it is. Right now, though, where you want it. In the front of the back.
Funny thing, since it's you, somehow shooting us in the back seems to be more fitting.
Suits me just fine. Turn around.
Oh, no, you don't, buddy. If I'm gonna get...
Better do as he says, John.
No. Okay, Gene, if you say so.
Good boy. And now, so long, suckers.
Oh, my hand is broken.
Yeah, don't worry about that. The sheriff will fix it up in a sling. Nice and clean.
Man, for a minute I thought we was donors for sure. Say, where'd that gun of yours come from anyway, Gene?
Out of the sling on my arm, Johnny.
Well, I'll be. What won't they think of next?
Settle back and give a listen to one of our favorite recipes for some mighty enjoyable living. Of course, you may find the ingredients a little tough to find, but once you do, believe me, you're set for life. Listen and see if you don't agree as the boys and girls join me in singing, "The Well on Earth and You, Dear. Oh, what a dream would be, a cozy little cottage beside the western sea, and who knows, someday maybe dreams will all come true. A cradle and a baby, the west, a nest, and you.
And you.
Well, good friends, that seems to be the last rung on the old ladder for this Smelly Ranch party. But we've got another swell get-together lined up for you at the same time and over the same station, so try and join us then, won't you? Meantime, this is Gene Autry asking you to keep thinking of us until we're back in the saddle again.
This again each Saturday night at this time for Gene Autry's Melody Ranch Show.
I'm back in the saddle again, riding the reins once more, toting my old 44, where you sleep out every night, and the only law is right. Back in the saddle again. Whoopee tie, I oh, rocking to the floor. Back in the saddle again. Whoopee tie.
From June 9, 1951, Cattleman's Money Stolen, an episode of Gene Autry's Melody Ranch. Thanks for listening, and if there are old-time radio shows you remember and would like to hear again, drop me a line at Dan, D-A-N, at radiofun.info. In the old-time radio corner, I'm Dan Hughes.